Section 2, The Economy, From Hard Times to Desperate Times. As you read, look for multiple sources of a new agricultural depression in South Carolina. How the Great Migration brought new opportunities, but new challenges for African Americans. Reasons for the growth, then slump, of the state's textile industry. The devastating effects of the Great Depression on the nation and the state. Terms: boll weevils, Great Migration, Great Depression. The decade of the 1920s brought rising prosperity for most of the United States, but not for South Carolina. The state had experienced some improvement in the early 20th century, and World War I increased prosperity. But very soon, hard times were back again. Not so roaring 20s. An agricultural depression began in 1920, following a sharp drop in cotton, tobacco, and grain prices. Cotton prices of 40 cents a pound during the war had inspired farmers to go into debt to buy new equipment and more land. But by 1920, European demand for cotton decreased, so the price fell to 13.5 cents and stayed down for 2 decades. Poverty, bankruptcy, and hardship resulted. Then came the plague of boll weevils, tiny insects that ate the immature cotton bolls. Some years the weevils demolished half of South Carolina's cotton crop. In 1918, Bamberg County produced 35,000 bales. After the boll weevil struck, the county produced 4,000 bales, selling at about 13 cents per pound. The third plague to hit the farmers of South Carolina was drought. With little rainfall and many boll weevils, the state's cotton crop in 1922 fell to only one-third of the 1920 crop. The value of all South Carolina crops fell from $446 million in 1918 to $156 million in 1929 to $63 million in 1932. A fourth factor in the farmers' woes in the 20s was less dramatic but more basic than low prices, boll weevils, and drought. South Carolina's farms were wearing out. Topsoil was eroding at an alarming rate, and farmers had to use more fertilizer to keep up production. They couldn't compete with the new farms opening up in California, where cotton growing began to flourish. In the 1920s, about 30,000 of South Carolina's 188,000 farms were abandoned. Farm property lost half its value by 1930. It was clear that agricultural depression came to South Carolina in the 20s and only got deeper when the depression of the 30s hit. The Great Migration. One of the responses to the economic agony on the farms was to give up and get out. Many farmers did just that. Actually, a Great Migration, a massive movement of African Americans from the state and the South to the North, had begun during World War I with the promise of better jobs and more freedoms. In the 20s, farmers were pushed out of the state by wretched conditions and lured to the North by the promise of better conditions. In 1 8-month period, in 1922 to 1923, at least 50,000 blacks left the farms and moved north. By 1925, blacks were no longer a majority in South Carolina, for the first time in over a century. Blacks who moved north did not find Utopia a perfect place. W.E.B. Du Bois warned that the trip north was the beginning of a new struggle, not the end of struggle. Most did find better-paying jobs, but still faced discrimination on raises and promotions. Ghettos, which were segregated by choice or by racial hostility, meant crowded conditions that bred crime and disease. But blacks were free to vote, and the concentration allowed them to develop political clout that their southern relatives would not experience for several more decades. The Great Migration took place primarily from 1915 to 1930, but it did not stop after 1930. It continued until the 1970s, when conditions for blacks in South Carolina changed. Since the 1980s, more blacks have moved into the state than have moved out. The textile industry triumphs, then slumps. The textile industry in South Carolina grew by leaps and bounds from the 1880s to the 1920s. Two important causes were the state's special tax breaks to the mills and state government's laissez-faire policy, which allowed mills to operate without many safety and sanitation regulations. The most important cause was cheap labor. Struggling farmers and starving sharecroppers were willing to take low wages to have at least a little bit of income. The mill owners found it easy to prevent labor unions from getting a foothold in this environment of too few jobs and laissez-faire attitudes. By the 1920s, South Carolina was the cotton mill state in the country. Massachusetts, the former leader, could not compete with the cheap labor, low taxes, and lack of regulation. After 1920, one-fourth of the nation's cotton cloth was made in South Carolina. Textile mills were concentrated mainly in Spartanburg, Greenville, and Anderson counties, but there were many others scattered across the state. Improvements in mill village life. Life improved a bit in the mill villages. State government lowered the maximum hours of work per week from 60 to 55. Most of the workers' houses were wired for electricity, and many had running water and flushing toilets. Interviews at one mill village at Spartanburg in 1926 indicated that most families subscribed to a daily newspaper. Many owned phonographs, and a few owned pianos and even automobiles. Worsening conditions inside the mills. Life outside the mills might have improved, but work within the mills did not get better. Many factories began losing money before the end of the decade. Management responded with the speed up and the stretch out, speeding up the machines and increasing the number of machines each worker tended. This led to worker protest, strikes, and a legislative investigation, which concluded that too much work was expected of the employees. More troubles were ahead for textile mills, laborers, and for all Americans. The Great Depression. The Depression of the 1930s surprised most Americans. They had become accustomed to the prosperity of the 1920s. South Carolinians should not have been surprised. Their farmers had been in a ditch for a decade. Some industrial workers were being laid off their jobs, and the others were expected to work harder. Farmers and some factories could not pay their debts, so many small banks that had loaned them money began to fail. Nearly half were gone before the 20s ended. When a bank failed, usually customers lost whatever money they had deposited. All this happened in the 20s. After October 1929, things got worse for South Carolina, and Americans began to feel the pain Carolinians had known for several years. The crash of the New York stock market in October 1929 is usually considered the beginning of the Great Depression, a severe economic downturn that began with the stock market crash of 1929 and continued until World War II. The crash was not the cause of the Depression. The fundamental cause had more to do with the fact that most Americans' incomes were not high enough to buy all the goods they were producing. This led to overproduction or underconsumption, layoffs of workers, and slowdown of production. Declining value of shares in corporations triggered a loss of confidence. Businesses laid off workers. Unemployed persons bought less. Then more people became unemployed, thus buying fewer goods, and so the spiral continued downward from 1930 to 1933. Nearly 11,000 banks closed across the country, wiping out people's savings. At the depth of the Great Depression in 1933, about one-fourth of the workers in America and in South Carolina were unemployed. Many homeless people built shacks of scrap tin and cardboard for shelter. Clusters of shacks under bridges or on any little piece of unused land were called Hoovervilles, a bitter reference to President Herbert Hoover. No one had a clear vision of what should be done or how the government could help. Local governments, charities, and churches tried to assist those in need, but their resources were quickly overwhelmed. Columbia charitable organizations provided 700,000 free meals to hungry citizens in 1931, but their efforts were not enough. Hobos, men who hopped on freight trains looking for work, showed up at back doors begging for any available scrap of food. A few people in South Carolina actually starved to death. The problem was not lack of food, but people's lack of money to buy food. Cotton was less than 5 cents a pound. The value of farm products in South Carolina plunged from $150 million in 1929 to $71 million in 1931, and most Carolinians' livelihood depended on farm products. Income per capita, per person, in the state fell from $261 in 1929 to $151 in 1932. South Carolina and the nation had reached a new low. Hope for the future focused on the election of 1932. Do you remember? 1. Define in sentence form boll weevils, Great Migration, Great Depression. 2. What were some ways in which mill village life improved in the 1920s? 3. What were Hoovervilles?